At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLATO5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome to the Play to Win podcast, where we talk about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
And I'm Dylan. This week, we are talking about partners in CEDH, and we're ranking them with the tier thing.
The actual tier list maker. That's right. After 2.5, 3 years, we're finally doing an actual tier list video, Dylan.
I didn't realize this was an actual thing. I mean, I know I've seen a lot of people use it. I didn't realize, like, tier maker, that was a thing. I thought it was just like a screenshot people were grabbing and dragging along, but it's a thing.
It's a whole thing. I had to go in and manually input these cards.
Okay.
So that we could have them, so that I can click and drag these cards that you see on screen here. We got a whole new layout for this podcast because we got to show everything that we're looking at today. And you can see the list of commanders, these partners that we're going to talk about down here.
Now, these are all the partners that we have already kind of prejudged to be like D-ish or above. Any of the Fs we're not going to talk about. If we didn't talk about one of these partners, it's an F. That's what it is.
Well, we might still put more partners into the F category here,
I suppose. I think for me personally, I'll be honest with you, at a quick glance, I think all of these are D's at least, because the ones that I mentioned that we actually take off before this podcast, those I thought were all Fs.
Well, why don't we go through what our tiers are going to be so that we can figure out what we're going to do. We have pretty standard tiers. I haven't gone anywhere overboard on these.
These look normal?
Yeah, typical S tier right at the top for your best of the best. Your A tiers are going to be partners that are super close to being the best, but there's something that just keeps them from being, you know, top-notch partners that you want to get drawn to all the time. B tier partners are really good. Like, there's a reason for you to be playing them, but there's definitely some clear things that they're missing with themselves. Cs are okay. I feel like these are just okay. Like, if you want to play them, you could do that, and I wouldn't begrudge you for doing that, but we're getting into that, why aren't you playing some of those other partners territory?
Right.
And then Ds are just like, these are pretty bad.
Yeah, these are for colors normally.
Yeah, a lot of the time, like, you'll do it for colors, or maybe there's a combo piece that works with something else that's working in your deck. And then Fs, I'm leaving Fs as something that's available just in case we decide that we hate something so much, it should go into Fs.
For the most part, for me, Fs are just not CDH playable, and I use that term loosely. Anything CDH playable, if you want it to be, for me personally, there's just no real reason as of right now to ever play such a partner that I would put an F, so that's kind of where I'm thinking.
Yeah, Ravos is an example of a partner that we recently just cut from this list because there's no reason to play Ravos over the other options that you have, whereas there's an argument for all of these other cards. They've already seen CEDH play in some sort of form or fashion, so there's a reason for them to be on this list.
Yeah, Timna is the other black-white partner commander besides Ravos, and Timna is, we'll get to it in a little while, but probably the best partner in all of Commander, so there's really just no reason to ever play Ravos. Even if Ravos does something unique and interesting, Timna is just that much better that there would be no reason, so we give Ravos an F. Start things off with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if you don't see a partner that's on here, that's why. Also, I'm not including things that partner with because that's just basically like,
that's its own thing. That's a different commander.
That's one deck, right? Like, these partners can be mixed and matched into a bunch of different options. Also, no friends forever, even though that technically does mix and match.
It's not partner.
It's not partner.
Partner specifically has the mix and match ability. We're also not including the Doctor Who with Doctor's Companion, which, although does have the mixing match, it can't mix and match with all of them like the Friends and Forever, so none of that one either.
Yeah, so I'm not focusing on any of the Doctor Who stuff.
Partner. The word partner is all that we're talking
about. Exactly. Also, because, like, all the Doctor Who commanders would get Fs anyway, so we're taking them off. All right. So this list is in no particular order, so we're just going to start in the order that we have things here. And now, because I'm using my laptop for this, I have to look up the cards on my phone to read them. Yeah, so don't think I'm being rude this whole time. I'm just trying to read. So Sadar Kondo of Dremora is our first card. This faces two, a green and a white, for a legendary human knight with flanking, which means that whenever a creature without flanking blocks this creature, the blocking creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn. Do you remember that?
No.
No, right? Yeah. And then creatures your opponents control without flying or reach can't block creatures with power 2 or less.
This one is probably as close to an F as possible, with maybe not being an F. And the only reason I would say that is because it's the only green-white partner commander that we have. So if you specifically need to add green and white to a partner that is only in one of the other colors, Sidar is your go-to. But I don't think I've ever seen a CH deck that I saw with Sidar and I go, yep, that's good.
I played against one once, and I got a turn one on the play Wheel of Fortune against this player.
Against them, okay.
Against them, yeah. And then they went, oh, okay, land Mana Crypt Archon of Emyria. And ended up doing pretty good. I don't think they won the game, but yeah, they were like really well suited after that point. Yeah.
I'm going to give it an F. I think I just said that if it's, well, we're not talking about it's an F. I think Sidar's
an F.
At least right now in CDH. And maybe I could give it an F plus. Because theoretically, something could get printed at a later date that makes Rograkh Naya busted. And then Sidar is perfect. That doesn't exist right now.
No.
But such a future could exist, so it's an F+. Like, it has
like
potential.
Cards like Delny that we get that also have, like, a power 2 or less thing that are really strong kind of make it seem like maybe Sidar is going to have some upside in the future, though. But the problem is that Sidar's got a combat-based ability.
Is it everything that's 2 or less is unblockable? What is the evasion?
Creatures your opponents control without flying or reach can't block creatures with power 2 or less.
So your creatures are unblockable if they're 2 power or less, and if your opponents have no flying or reach creatures. So it's evasion.
It's kind of evasion.
It does,
yeah,
like theoretically on paperwork with Timna, but like, not really.
No, I think there's a lot better partner pairs for Timna, especially if you are trying to build around 2 power creatures.
B minus or F plus? We're already, no, I'm not adding pluses or minuses. No. I'm going to give it an F.
Because it's a tier list video, we can rank them within the tiers as well.
Oh, okay.
I think Sidar Kondo is going to start in F, but maybe Sidar will stay towards the top of F because of the colors thing.
Yeah, because of what it could do. But even still, we should rank cards on what they do right now.
On what they're currently
doing. It's a firm F for me.
It's definitely an F. And now we're going to talk about Rayhan, Last of the Abzan.
Starting with all the great ones.
Yeah, this is why you play partner, right? For these cards, this is one of black and a green for a 0/0 legendary human warrior that enters the battlefield with 3+1/+1 counters on it. And whenever a creature you control dies or is put into the command zone, if it had 1 or more +1/+1 counters on it, you may put that many +1/+1 counters on target creature. What a good waste of time that was.
Yeah, this one is so strange because I feel like in a lot of ways it almost allows for some combo potential to happen, but like not quite. Like I feel like there should be something that you should be able to do with a Walking Ballista or Agatha's Soul Cauldron, but like really there's nothing that busted that I'm aware of that you really can do with that. So Rayhan is just like we were just talking about Sidar, except like Rograkh Jund is good. Like not, I don't know, good, but like can be good.
You can do things with that
color
combination.
You can do good things with that color combination. So for that reason, Rayhan is at least like playable, theoretically, just because you need the black-green color options, and like having a 3-mana commander rather than Ikra, the 5-mana one that we'll probably talk about later, is like barely relevant. You know what I mean? Like, not really, but like, maybe.
There's a reason to go with Rayhan if you want to play Crown in the command zone, don't care about your life total, and would rather have things that activate cards in your deck like Fierce Guardianship.
A little quicker, right?
Yeah, so that it's kind of like you're playing blue farm, but without white and green instead, but you still get to play like all the cool reasons why you get to play Timna,
right?
Besides the card draw and attacking with creatures and stuff. Maybe you get to play Mox Ember in that deck now or something like that.
Really, the best thing that Rayhan ever will do realistically is add the colors black and green. That's really what it does. That's the only thing that it does. For that reason, it's a D. But it can do that, and CDH is so bizarre that, like, that's relevant enough.
I almost want to give it an F just because there is another commander in its colors that typically sees more play that I almost always would rather
Ikra,
go to.
Yeah, I feel like that used to be the case. Lately, I don't think that's the case anymore. I haven't seen a lot of Ikra at all anymore, and I have seen a little bit more Rayhan. I think that's mainly because of it just being 2-mana cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, just being able to get it out. My thing is that, like, if I'm pairing Rograkh with with a black-green commander. I already have a commander that can get out super early and turn on all my other stuff. If I'm doing stuff with my life total, which I probably am because I'm in Jun, so I'm probably playing Ad Nauseam, Bolas of Citadel, I probably want the ability to have longer game life gain.
The life gain from Ikra can be relevant if you're in an Ad Nauseam or a Necro deck. In my experience, not relevant enough most of the time. 5 mana to play a sorcery speed thing, pass a turn, hope to untap, be able to connect, and then gain the life to do so. That's just too many steps.
Well, technically, the turn that you cast Ikra, you can get in with Rograk at someone and gain one.
It's not a combat damage. It's an attack trigger.
Oh, it has to deal damage?
I think it still has to deal the damage, I think.
Okay, yeah, never mind.
Yeah. Should we say what Ikra does since we're talking about them both?
Let's place...
For me, I'm going to give Raihan a D. That's my slot. I think it's a D.
I want to give Raihan an F, but I'll give him a D for now, but maybe we'll keep him towards the bottom of D.
If I was at a tournament and I saw Rograk Raihan, I wouldn't think this isn't a deck. I would think, okay, this is Turbo Jun, sure.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
If it was Sidar, I would go, what's going on? I don't know about this. You know what I mean?
No, I think that makes sense. Okay, well, let's talk about Ikra then. Ikra is a 3... colorless, a black and a green 3/7 legendary snake wizard with menace. And whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, yeah, you're right, it is combat damage, yeah, you gain life equal to that creature's toughness.
You had a deck with Bruise and Ikra for a while that gained a ton of life, and the goal was to gain a ton of life and cast a big Ad Nauseam. I think you lost like 10 games with it before you took it apart.
If I could put that deck in this tier list, it would go in the F tier for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Ikra kind of suffers the same thing as Raihan does, or not suffers, benefits from, is just sometimes adding black and green is worth it. And since there's no good black or green partner commander, Ikra or Raihan get picked from time to time. I don't think either of them are ever relevant, but 3 is less than 5, so Raihan I like more.
I think the biggest problem with the black-green partners is that there are other partners that share their colors that also give you access to... like other color combinations
and
that you
card
want.
Draw advantage.
You can still make like Thrasios Timna out of Ikra and Ishai, I guess.
Sure,
but, like, that's way worse than the other parents. So, like, you just end up not really in the most ideal, optimal spot.
We have figured out that partners with card advantage is the good part. That's what's good. It's not necessarily card advantage, but advantage. And Ikra doesn't realistically offer advantage. The life gain, you could twist your brain to feel like the life gain specifically with Ad Nauseam and Necropotence is advantage, and it kind of is, but it's just too slow. If Ikra was 1 mana and did that, and then starting on turn 1, you can gain a quick 6 life, then yes, we're talking. You know what I mean? But it's not. It's 5 mana. You have to waste all of your ritual mana on it, and then you could have been saving a ritual mana on a win condition or something. I still think it's a D for me, and I think I like Raihan more, mainly because there's something with Agatha's Soul Cauldron I feel like that you can do with Raihan that's kind of interesting.
Putting Ranger Captain of Eos like under Agatha's Soul Cauldron, and now your commander can be Ranger Captain. Like, there's just a lot of utility it can
have. I guess, like, if you were to have a Ranger Captain, you could put the counter on another one of your creatures, and then Raihan still has a +1/+1 counter separately, so now you have two creatures that can do the activated ability that Agatha's Soul Cauldron allows.
That's not bad.
That's not nothing. And yeah, just for the 3 mana, I'm going to say Raihan is higher if we are allowed to rank them, but I still think Ikra is a tier D for me.
Oh, man. Okay, coming into this, I probably would have put Ikra in D tier as well, but over Raihan. But yeah. I hate saying these words, but I think they ring true. Without Jeweled Lotus, I don't want to play Ikra.
Yeah. It does lose a lot.
I'm back on Atali, so like, I really don't care that Jeweled Lotus is not in the format, but like, a big part of Ikra was that there was the deck Crown Mikra, and you could play this green Grixis-based strategy that had a really good way to stay in the game if you got targeted by the attacking decks, if your Ad Nauseam plan didn't end up working well. Like, you could play Crown, get card advantage, and then slam Ikra, and then get your life back up, like, already, because you have Crown in the command zone that's going to gain you 4 life.
Losing the Jeweled Lotus and the Mana Crypt, for those in particular, I think matters a little bit more than others. Other cards, you gain the card advantage, like Atali. Like, yes, it thinks you can't get Atali out as fast, but you gain the card advantage immediately from it.
Yeah, you get 4 cards from Atali, whereas Ikra comes in and you go, okay, maybe I'll gain life, but maybe you'll block life now.
Okay, 2 Ds for me.
Double Ds to start the show off. That sounds great. All right, why don't we talk about a good
commander then,
because there's a reason why people play partners, and we should talk about that. Let's talk about Timna the Weaver.
I already mentioned the best commander in the set. What does Timna do?
Timna is a 1
in the set.
We did a set review in March, and we did a set review in February.
A lot of sets coming out.
Yeah, so I'm not surprised that we're just calling shit sets. So Timna is one, a black and a white for a 2/2 legendary human with lifelink. And whenever you deal combat damage to a player... Now, let me do this the right way. I thought I could do this and be cocky, but it's not worded like that.
It's worded weird.
At the beginning of your post-combat main phase, you may pay X life, where X is the number of opponents that were dealt combat damage this turn. If you do, draw X cards.
Right.
I like how I've been calling things Timna wordings for stuff like Professional Facebreaker and Grim Hireling for years.
But it's really not.
It's completely different.
Timna's kind of its own thing. It is tied to... damage, but it's not like a trigger on combat damage. It's
right,
a trigger
yeah.
on second main phase after.
Those treasure-making cards that I talked about, if you remove them after damage is dealt, they'll still get the treasures. But Timna, if you remove Timna on the damage step, then Timna's trigger won't happen when you go to second main.
Realistically, Timna just draws 1 to 3 cards a turn. Normally, closer to 1, I have found. Some 2 is kind of common. 3 is very rare. Timna's rate is realistically not that good. Timna never sees play in the 99. Timna itself is not a great card on its own, but what Timna is good at is being a commander. Timna allows you to play 4 colors in your command zone, while one of your commanders is only 3 mana, which is pretty cheap, and is backup card advantage. Timna's rarely the main strategy. You're not building around Timna. Timna's there to like clean up the scraps in most decks of just like, Timna ties all this shit together. Timna allows me to make sure I can hit my land drop, make sure that I can hold up interaction, make sure that I can keep playing the game, and being able to have card draw that doesn't cost you cards in the beginning is just so broken. But it is interesting that like it's really not a great card on its own. It's great because it's always in your command zone, it gives you access to 4 colors, and it's 3 mana,
and it triggers off of something that you want to be doing in Magic anyway. Like, it's giving you a benefit for just playing the game, and you don't have to build your deck in a certain way. Like, there's cards that you can play because Timna's in your command zone that you just go, oh, it's a Timna attacker, so it's something that I want. But you don't have to do that. Even like, you can just play the good creatures that you want to play in your Timna deck, and naturally you'll still be able to draw a bunch.
Right, yeah, I'm playing Timna Thrasios. We both have been for a while. There's no like specific Timna attackers, although now Voice of Victory makes great Timna attackers and is kind of perfect for that deck.
But again, that's just like kind of incidental.
It's just incidental. No, there's nothing else that particularly attacks well in that deck. It's just Mana Dorks, Thrasios can get through. It's a 1/3, so it gets through 1/1s. Like, that's, like you said, like, it just rewards you for playing Magic and progressing the board. And the fact that your card draw doesn't soak up cards in your hand, you know what I mean? So normally, if you play a Rhystic Study, you go down from 7 to 6 cards to waste on the Rhystic Study. So if it gets countered, you're still down at 6 cards. But with Timna and Thrasios, you have 7 cards. You play Timna, you still have 7 cards. If they counter it, you didn't lose a card, and they did. That's great. You know what I mean? So Timna is obviously an S tier. It's the best commander in the format. I don't think you can do much better.
It will be really hard to tap Timna, at least, because of everything that we said. It's just like free value after she gets into play. You don't have to build your deck a weird way like a lot of commanders kind of want you to. And she's good colors that she adds to your partner deck as well too. Like, black and green is not 2 colors that I always want. I'm really only interested in one of them. White and green, I don't want that color combination in my deck like almost at all. But like, giving me access to the silence colors and the tutor colors like really ties a lot of missing pieces together in a lot of decks.
Yeah, and I think we also have to talk about 2 other commanders while we're talking about Timna. We don't have to like rank them right now, but like Thrasios and Krom, that triangle, there's a reason why Thrasios, Timna, and Thrasios Krom are the best decks, and it's because this triangle of them works really well together. Like you said, like, I don't want green-white, but you could want green-white, but you get green-white from Thrasios, Timna. You know what I mean? So like, you don't need a green-white partner because this particular triangle allows you to go Krom Timna or Timna Thrasios, and those are both arguably like the best decks in the format, I would say. Two of 5 best decks in the format.
I would fully agree with
so,
that,
like,
yeah.
Timna is good because Timna's good, but Timna's good because Timna works well with Thrasios being 4 colors, with Krom being 4 colors, and all those other stuff.
It's
right?
The smattering of...
It's got good triangle corners.
Good triangle corners that let you go into great sans color combinations.
Yeah, great 4 color combos.
Because all 3 of those commanders are card advantage engines, and that's why.
Yeah, so with Timna, with either one, you get 2 sources of card advantage in your command zone. Yeah, exactly.
I know we're doing a lot of, like, foreshadowing for a bunch of other partners that we're going to talk about, but it's kind of impossible to talk about partners without talking about like what you would pair them with. So if you're confused as to what Thrasios is,
you know,
don't worry,
is.
We'll get around to them.
Yeah, you kind of have to. They don't exist in a vacuum of each other. They exist because of how well they work with other stuff. So we kind of have to talk about the other ones.
Yeah,
with them,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, and I didn't want to talk about partner pairings today because we would be here for 6 hours, and we have shit to do. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about Vile Smasher the Fierce.
Okay.
Let's talk about Vile Smasher. So Vile Smasher is one a black and a red for a legendary goblin
shaman.
That's what I thought.
I want to say shaman.
Vile.
Or maybe it's like a berserker or something. No, I feel like it's a shaman.
Whoa, goblin berserker.
It was berserker.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
cool.
Wild. Okay, cool. So Vile Smasher's a 2/3, and whenever you cast your first spell each turn, choose an opponent at random. Vile Smasher deals damage equal to that spell's mana value to that player or planeswalker that player controls. Man, if it was 2020, I would have a much higher rating for this card.
Yeah, it's so funny that like 5 years ago, Vile Smasher was thought of as like one of the premier partners because you could pair it with like a curiosity effect, and Thrasios Vile Smasher was a 4-color pairing that you could throw a curiosity on Vile Smasher, and then it turns all of your instant speed interaction into cantrips, which can be pretty good.
Especially at a time when it was undisputed that white was the worst color in Commander. This is pre-Esper Sentinel, pre-white gets any sort of card draw. Like, you got Silence, you got Grand Abolisher.
Enlightened Tutor, and that was it.
And that was a Smothering Tithe in some decks, too. Yeah, but otherwise, like, Timna was the only reason to play white.
And Timna was a very good reason why to play Vile Smasher, too, because having a 2/3 in your command zone that could block the Timna was actually relevant. If you could hold off some of that Timna blocks in the early game, that would help you push into the late game. The meta was kind of, like, small like that, like, where just being able to block Timna in your command zone was pretty good.
And this worked out because even though like the format was really fast with like Flash Hulk being a deck that you could play, there were still a lot of times where people were just like, kind of like now, holding up their wins in their hands, waiting for the safe opportunity to try to win. And the deck, Curiosity Control, had more time to be able to deploy Vile Smasher and get a Curiosity or Keen Sense on there. And then like play a... Dig Through Time or something end step when they didn't do anything and just randomly get 8 damage at someone.
Nowadays, Vile Smasher has been more delegated to partners for Malcolm, which is another partner that we'll talk about in a little while, but that particular pairing allows you to have a 1-card win condition in Grixis. Well, I mean, this is, again, we can't really talk about Vile Smasher without talking about Malcolm right now, because the premier Vile Smasher deck right now pairs with Malcolm, which is a card that combos with Glenhorn Buccaneer, which is a red card, and you need red to go in your Malcolm deck, and adding red-black to your blue combo deck is really good.
Which means that way you also get, like, tutors to help you find Glenhorn Buccaneer.
Exactly.
So it's a really nice color combination for that.
And nowadays, I think that version, that Vile Smasher deck, is the most popular Vile Smasher deck, but I do think Vile Smasher Thrasios is still a deck. I see it from time to time. It's still around.
It does some wild things now.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
There's a lot more options with what it can do. I don't see the Curiosity thing quite as much. I do see some Birthing Pod lines and also just some, like, what if Blue Farm had green instead of white lines? That is kind of what the deck is doing nowadays, at least from what I'm seeing.
It's the better way to go Ikra if you wanted to do like Ikra Krom or something like that. Do Thrasios Vile Smasher instead.
Yeah, yes. If you want to do green Grixis, I think Thrasios Vile Smasher is the way to do that rather than Ikra Krom nowadays, losing Mana Crypt and stuff. You want to do the little ones.
So between Thrasios and Malcolm being good, where do you want to throw Vile Smasher? Is Vile Smasher B tier?
Realistically, Vile Smasher is only there for colors. And to me, that's a C-tier commander. It's really just there for colors. That's all it does. Nowadays,
yeah, I think that's fair.
Even the decks that do play Vile Smasher are not casting it. You'll ask most of them and they'll say, if I'm casting Vile Smasher, something has gone wrong. It's really just there for colors. Nowadays, so even though red-black is just like a good color combination to want to staple onto things, it's just because it's red-black mostly now. So I would say Vile Smasher is a C tier, which is kind of crazy because Timna Vile Smasher was once like a very, very good deck, I think.
I feel like we'll get to some other commanders that people would rather play in the decks that they want to add red to.
Thrasios Vile Smasher. I just said Timna Vile Smasher.
I think we're going to get to some other commanders that people would rather play instead of Vile Smasher for when they want to add red, and they're actually willing to forego adding black to their deck because of it.
Or take black from another source. Some of the mono red partners, all of them, bizarrely busted for some reason and are only held back by them only being mono red.
Yeah.
I think they're all like really good. So yeah, we'll get to them when we get to them.
All right, so Vile Smasher, all right, I'll put in C tier for now, and it will just be the only C tier commander that we have for right now. As we move on to our next partner, Yoshimaru.
Yeah.
Ever faithful. This is one white mana for a 1/1 legendary dog that says whenever another legendary permanent enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on Yoshimaru ever faithful. I gotta tell you, Dylan, I've heard a lot of hype around Thrasios Yoshimaru, and I feel like I just haven't seen it in the wild enough.
I've never played against this deck. I have heard people tell me that it's a decent deck. I think it's neat that your white commander is kind of like a Rograk, that just it's just like a cheap commander that will sometimes get a little bit big, but I think from what I've heard mostly there, it's just kind of to enable some quicker starts.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I really like that direction, if I'm being honest. I know I'm immediately firing into the negatives on the cutest dog on a Magic card.
Very cute. Probably ever. Yeah.
However, I already have a cheap commander in Thrasios that way, and it's hard for me to want to shave on Timna and all of the good things that black gives me access to.
And that's what we'll compare a lot of the times. Is this deck doing something better than what Timna Thrasios or Timna Krom can do? A lot of the times, the partner matchups are just going to be that. Like, yes, these partners are okay, but realistically, they're not busted. Thrasios isn't Kinnan level powerful. Thrasios sees more play because Thrasios can be paired with a lot of different things. But Kinnan is a more powerful card. So there's only so much, I don't know, like, I guess like wiggle room. Like how much can you shave just for colors? Like why not just play four colors? Why not take advantage of what Partners is offering you, which is four colors and advantage on both pieces, right?
Exactly, yeah. Whereas, and I totally get what you're saying. If you're not playing Partners, there's a billion reasons why you're in that color combination then to do your strategy. But like when it comes to Partners, you start to like really have to explain yourself when it comes to like, oh, I'm playing Yoshimaru Rograk, which is also something that we've seen. And Richard from MTG Goldfist kicked our ass with that deck on the channel.
Yeah, it can happen for sure.
It can happen, right? But like you start to get to a point where like, yeah, you can win 10% of your games, but like, do you really want to win 10% of your games?
Yeah.
Like, isn't it more fun to win 25% of your games? Like, have that be your goal? So
yeah, I think Yoshimaru is unfortunately a D tier. I could be very wrong about that. I think it's worse than Vile Smasher, but I think it's probably better than Rayhan and Ikra just by being one mana is very strong.
See, weirdly enough, I would put Yoshimaru underneath both of the green-black commanders because having access to only one color, like that also shaves off 50% of a good reason to play a partner.
I guess maybe you're right. I think I would question a Yoshimaru deck slightly more in a tournament than I would a Rayhan deck. But Ikra, Yoshimaru might be better than Ikra, though.
Let me say this too, though, because there's exceptions to the thing that I said, because there's other one-color partners that do a lot more for your deck. I think just
that's
being
true.
Like a cheap one-color partner that still costs mana is not a direction that I want
to
go.
Zero is so much less than one. Like realistically, that's what Yoshimaru is to me. The closest comparison is Rograk. It's just cheap. It's just a very inexpensive commander. Rograk is free. Free is so much different than one. It feels like it's just one off. No, it's like 100% off. It's not, it's so much different.
Also, white and green don't give you good sacrifice things either. Like Eldritch Evolution is bad when you sacrifice a one mana thing.
Jessica's Will is really powerful. The white Akroma's Will, not that good in CDH.
Yeah.
Deflecting Swat, really powerful. The white
defensive maneuvers.
Who gives a shit? Not good. So
I like that.
Also, what red offers for having the cheap commander is better than what white offers.
And Yoshimaru's +1/+1 counter ability is not good enough to justify it either.
I mentioned about Rayhan, the Agatha Soul Cauldron. I guess I could mention it here for the same thing. It does work better with Ranger Captain of Eos.
Because you're already in Ranger Captain colors. You don't have to have someone fail at a win attempt.
But I still think it makes sense to put it between Rayhan and Ikra here in the D tier.
All right, I'm okay with the sandwich there, too.
Which is still not an F. Still CDH.
Yeah.
I get it. You know what I mean? I just don't want it.
That's why I'm playing Thrasios Timna right now.
Right, because Timna's good.
Why don't we... I'm skipping ahead. Why don't we talk about Thrasios? Because we've talked about Thrasios a lot already. And if we're going to continue to reference Thrasios, I would like to get Thrasios
checked
off.
That's a good idea.
Thrasios is a blue and a green 1/3 legendary merfolk wizard, and for 4 mana, you can look at the top card of your library, and you may reveal it and put it in your hand. If you don't, put it on the bottom, and then reveal the next card and put that in your hand. If it's a land, put it into play tapped.
Yeah, you draw it. You specifically draw it.
It's not Nadu.
It's not Nadu.
Specifically draw.
Which is very relevant against Orcish Bowmaster, and I guess Shieldred and other things that care about a draw effect.
It's relevant against Orcish Bowmaster until you're ready to win the game.
This is something that we've done a couple times where I will put a bunch of Thrasios activations on the stack, and each time there's a damage dealt to me because I've drawn one card, I I'll respond to that with a Thrasios activation. I activate Thrasios with my infinite mana that I get to, which is why Thrasios is so good, because if you are able to make infinite mana, you can pump that all into Thrasios. And then every damage that you are dealt with Orcish Bowmaster, you can just respond and draw a card. And the card is in your hand, which means you can activate again and respond. So you can have a situation where there are 500 Orcish Bowmaster triggers targeting you, and you have your whole deck in your hand, and you can continue to hold priority on wait on all of them and respond with a Valley Flood Caller, with a Born Upon a Win, and still win over top. So in the end of the game, Bowmaster is not really that powerful against Thrasios, but it can still be relevant against your green mana dork try to draw a bunch of cards deck.
That's like, the thing. It's good against the general strategy that Thrasios is trying to employ, which is make as much mana as you can, especially when you're also pairing that with Timna and you're like, oh, hey, I kind of want to play more mana dorks now too. I don't know why you have that voice.
Pairing Thrasios with Timna is one of the main things why it's so good. Is turn one Thrasios off of Chromox or something into turn two Timna can be a fine start, and it's a particularly great way to peel yourself out of mulligans. When you mulligan low in your singleton format and you just find your two or three cards that you need in a couple lands, well, okay, at least I have these free cards that are over here that can draw me cards, and I can keep the good cards that I need and then use my card advantage to draw the rest of my stuff back in the game.
Especially because then turn three, you play your next land. Now you can hold up your interaction that keeps you alive and hold up a Thrasios interaction.
Right.
Activation. Just in case no one does anything then too. So like they start to synergize really well. You get to pile up a ton of cards. Right now, the four best colors in the format, in my opinion. I have white solidly higher than red at
this
point.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's true. Especially because we just lost Dockside Extortionist. That was one of the real main pulls for red, and red still has other strong things, but I think white overall has become a much more robust color in the past few years, especially like now, like Smothering Tithe, Esper Sentinel, Ranger Captain, Grand Abolisher, these are some of the best cards in the
Voice
format.
Of Victory, let's Voice add of Victory's that to a new one too.
Like Silence, like all of these cards are some of the strongest cards in the format, whereas red, you have some complementary things. You have a couple extra things that are nice, but white has like real pull. White, the silence effects a real pull. Deflecting Swat isn't pull, it's a bonus. It's all great. I have Deflecting Swat too. Okay.
It's just Underworld Breach right now. Right. That's a red pull for me.
And even still, like, I feel like I have seen Breach a lot less recently.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot less somehow. But yeah, so Thrasios is good. It's just two mana. That's the main reason it's good. For same thing as Timna, it allows you to be in four colors if you need to be, up to four colors, which is also really good. It's an infinite mana outlet, which we mentioned that I want to make sure that we mention again.
We should reiterate that. This two color partner wins you the game in a way that no other two color partner can.
With infinite colorless mana, that's specifically relevant.
Yeah, exactly.
Like being able to do it off of infinite green mana or infinite blue mana or infinite colorless mana or any of that. Kenrith, you need the infinite blue mana to draw your deck or something. You need to have specific colors, but this you can get away with a bunch of different stuff.
It's so good that Kinnan plays it in the 99 to go through its deck one card at a time.
And then Seedborn Muse is another one. You can't really talk about Thrasios without Seedborn Muse. Seedborn Muse is like the ad nauseum for the Thrasios decks, in that if you can resolve it and untap with it a few times, you probably should win the game, mainly because Thrasios just allows you to use all that extra mana, where like a lot of other commanders don't allow you to use that. So those two are, I think, are a perfect pair, especially Timna Thrasios being so good because Eldritch Evolution can turn your Timna into a Seedborn Muse, another reason why all of these things just like work together.
So I totally want to put Thrasios in S tier.
S tier, of course, yeah.
But I think it's still going to go under Timna because Timna is just more flexible in terms of what you can pair Timna with. Like Thrasios can get paired with like Dargo, but how good's that now?
We didn't even really talk about Rograt getting paired with Thrasios, which is like a more upcoming deck recently that has been putting in a lot of work. It can also be paired with Tevish Side, which is another one, but those are three color pairs that are seeing a little bit more play. We're not like two dominant four color pairing decks. You know what I mean? Thrasios doesn't pair with another two color commander to give you two options of four color. It used to with Bruise a little bit when Dockside was a little bit more relevant, but none of the Boros commanders give you any advantage. So the triangle is a triangle, not
it
a square.
It feels like you have one commander at that point. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So normally when you're pairing Thrasios with another card that's a real card, you're limited to three colors, which is different than Timna, which has access to go into two different four color pairings.
While also being able to go into a two-color pairing or a three-color pairing if you want to get the advantage out of one of the other one-color partners. I keep saying the wrong number of colors for everything. Oh my God.
But I do think that Timna is a little bit better than Thrasios, but they're right there. They're the two strongest commanders in the format.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. All right, so our next one then is Silas.
Silas is also just a color commander.
Basically, yeah. It's one, a blue and a black for a 2-2 human legendary artifact creature with death touch. And when it deals combat damage to a player, choose target artifact card in your graveyard and you may cast that card this turn.
Never comes up. It's in theory, you're like, oh, Lotus Petal. I can get a Lotus Petal back. That's nice. Or I can use it with my Mount Doom. I can sacrifice it with Mount Doom or something. That's nice. It can turn my Mox Opal on because it's an artifact. None of that stuff ever comes up. In the decks that want to play Silas, they're just playing Silas because Rograkh with Silas is really busted, or maybe Kirk with Silas is really busted. Just Grixis is really good.
The red partners are a good thing to pair with Silas, but you never cast Silas in those decks.
Yeah, and when you do, it's always bad. The best thing that it does, in my experience, is that it's a death touch blocker, and it can kind of make some people scared of throwing all of their stuff at you all the time.
And that's bad. And that's a bad.
If you're in that spot, if you're in the spot where now your opponents have the option to attack you, that means you've waited too long, either because of something you did or just like the game didn't allow you to go off early like you wanted to, and it just like tries to hold you in. Silas is not good. It's probably
C-tier, right? Because it's above Vile Smasher.
I think it's above Vile Smasher just because the red partners are better, so the pairings that you get to get it to Grixis are better.
Even off of that, just the color pair that you get off of Silas, I think, is way better than the color pair that you get off of Vile Smasher. Yeah. It just makes what you can partner Silas with just like way weirder.
Yeah, is Malcolm better than Rograkh and Kark? I don't think so.
Should I play Silas Sadar instead of Thrasios Timna?
Definitely not.
But Sadar makes Silas unblockable.
Yeah, that's true. I think, yes, Silas is a C-tier. It's really there for the colors. That's all it does. So, yeah, C-tier.
Let's talk about another one that's there for the colors, which is Tana, the Blood Sower.
An old favorite of mine.
An old favorite of yours. Yeah, 2, a red and a green for a 2-2 elf druid with trample. And when it deals combat damage to a player, you create that many 1-1 green Saperlene tokens.
Yeah, once upon a time, this was decent in Timna Tana, a blood pod deck that would allow you to grind value over time, and really it was there for the colors, but being able to slowly accumulate some 1-1 saplings was pretty good sometimes.
There's some additional value where, like, you could use Birthing Pod to sacrifice Tana to get like your Kiki Jiki or your Karmic Guide and like get some stuff started off. We didn't really talk about that with like Timna and Thrasios, where like you can Eldritch Evolution them into other things that you want more better.
Because they're so cheap, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So like that's something else that you could do with Tana. But it has the same kind of Silas problem where it limits who you can partner with because of its color combination that it's in. Like there's only one good commander that you can, because to fill in the other gaps for colors, you're playing a bad partner so that you can get another bad partner.
Right, yeah, you either pair it with Krom, and then you're only in three colors, and both of your commanders are 4 and 5 mana, and that kind of stinks. You pair it with Timna, which I think is its best option. It allows you to be in Sans Blue. It allows you to play all the best creatures and all that stuff, and I do think that deck still can be great, but Tana doesn't serve a major role in that deck. Tana is just kind of there for colors and allows you to be in Sans Blue Timna deck. And then the other option would be like a Thrasios, and Thrasios Tana just doesn't really make any sense because you would just play Rograkh or Kark or something, some other red card for the pairing.
There used to be Teemer Pirates decks that would pair it with Malcolm, and you could play Malcolm Tana, which was pretty cool because that gave you another out to have Malcolm and Glinthorn Buccaneer as the 2-card combo in your deck. And it was like another way to be really fast and take advantage of the green creature tutors. So, like, that actually had a reason to play Tana and, like, have a good reason to be in green.
And I think that deck is still not that bad, especially with the new tutor, Nature's Rhythm, like, is another great include for that deck. So, yeah, if you want to do the Teemer Pirates rather than the Grixis Pirates, green is pretty good when it comes to black as far as tutors. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, where do we throw... Is Tana C-tier then, too?
I would say
she's
C-tier.
In the same bit. Where is she in C-tier?
I think behind Vile Smasher.
Behind Vile Smasher,
but only because
here?
Malcolm Vile Smasher is better
is
right now.
Is way better right now. Probably always. Always has been. It just wasn't as popular as Teemer was for a short time.
Yeah, that might be true. Yeah,
I think that's
solid
fair.
C-tier.
Yeah. She's colors only, so that's C-tier. Let's talk about Tormod the Desecrator. This is a 3 and a black for a 4-2 legendary zombie wizard that says whenever one or more cards leaves your graveyard, you create a tapped 2-2 black zombie creature token. We were just talking about this card because there's that Sultai Commander from the Tarkir set that
does the same
this.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah, so this allows you to, with Phyrexian Altar and Gravecrawler, you can create billions of 2-2s back and forth, and then you can sack all of those 2-2s to make billions of mana, which you can dump into with Thrasios if you wanted to play Sultai with Tormod. I've never really seen that done. If you want to play Sultai mid-range with Thrasios, I think Tevish Zot is just a better include. You don't need the extra combo. You just want more card advantage in the command zone, so Tevish Zot would normally be picked over this. So yeah, I think Tormod is probably an F.
Woo, I just realized that when I did my search, I only searched for creatures and not planeswalkers.
Which means that Teversat and Jessica isn't in here.
They're not going to be on here.
Can we add them?
Yeah.
Because we'll have to.
Presentation mode, we're back. Okay.
Should we talk about another partner?
Let's talk about Jessica, because now Jessica came up. So Jessica is our first planeswalker commander here. Jessica is 2 and a red for a 0 loyalty planeswalker, but actually enters with loyalty counters on it for each time you've cast a commander from the command zone this game. For 0 loyalty, you can choose a creature, and until your next turn, if that creature will deal combat damage to one of your opponents, it deals triple that damage to that player instead. And for minus X, Jessica deals X damage to each of up to 3 targets.
Jessica, this one saw, I think, a lot more play in the beginning when it first came out. It was kind of like an automatic and made perfect sense in like the Mad Farm decks at the time that were winning with Ashiok Salvagers.
Oriok Salvagers,
yeah. And Lion's Eye Diamond. It makes perfect sense as an infinite mana outlet. It also allows you to make your Ishai, your big giant bird, attack for way a lot more. If you have a commander that can hit for a whole bunch, it can also be a mini Wrath and destroy the board. Lately, I haven't seen it quite as much.
No, me neither. I think that the Dockside ban might have had something to do with that too, because there were a lot of like Dockside loops that you could end up doing to end up winning the game through Jessica. Cast Jessica, minus Jessica to target players, and then recast her with your infinite mana just over and over. Years ago, I probably would have put her in B tier because...
I still think she's probably around B tier.
You still think she's probably... Because, yeah. I mean, she does something really good. Like, any deck that plays any number of creatures is going to be completely fucked over by her.
She does something. Everything in C tier doesn't do anything. It's just there
That's
for colors.
True. She does something.
She does something. She is an outlet. She does remove creatures. Those things aren't quite as good. Thrasios being an outlet is good because it's also an advantage engine in the early parts of the game where it's just... Jessica really isn't. Now, Jessica is removal, which is something else, but removal is also, in CDH, is just not that great. Even if you are killing 3 things, I would just rather push myself towards a win than stop them. I mean, having the removal when you need to get rid of a stacks piece is great, but I would also always rather somebody else get rid of it instead of me, and me be able to ignore that thing.
So, oh, yeah, just like win around the stacks piece or something.
So
yeah,
so like, what it does is good, or rather, it does what it does well. What it does is just not great. Does that make sense?
I'm not looking for a 3-mana pyroclasm a lot in CEDH. I'm not looking for, you know, 5 mana to deal 3 damage to different things. If I'm doing that, I'm probably not in a good spot, or I just hate Magda.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I do think it's B. It does do something. There's a reason to play it. But
not much, especially when like we have a lot of other red partners like Rograk that we could play
way
instead.
Way more busted, yeah.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Rograk is a 0-mana, 0/1 that's a kobold warrior with first strike, menace, and trample.
Yeah.
None of that matters. It's just a 0-mana thing that you can sacrifice to cards like Calling the Weak because you paired him with Silas or...
Guy's Cradle makes your Guy's Cradle turn on way earlier in the Thrasios decks. I don't know if Rograk is an A-tier or an S-tier commander. Realistically, it is busted. Having access to a free commander is just insanely good. But I would argue that the Thrasios Rograk and the Rograk Silas decks are not the best decks in the format right now. There is an argument that Rog Thras is inching up in popularity and maybe could be and would be soon, but I don't think that's where we're at exactly right now. But it's one of them. It's certainly one of the best decks in the format.
I wouldn't blame anyone for putting Rograk in either S or A tier, because I do feel like it has taken a hit, at least the turbo side of like Rograk Silas is taking a hit. But as that goes down, the scale starts to balance as Rog Thras starts to go up, especially as we get a lot of cooler tools for that deck, like Enduring Vitality there because it works so well with Song of Totentaz, and it works so well with Valley Floodcaller, which also works so well with Kinnan and Earth Craft. Like, it's such a synergy based big mana deck that, like, part of me thinks that I still want to put it in S tier?
I mean, only so many things can be the best of the best. S tier is the best of the best.
Yeah, I think we can have 3 to 4 things in the best of the best.
Best of the best? All right. So you think Rograk's in S tier?
I think Rograk is in S tier.
I'm currently taking apart, well, I'm switching out Rograk for Krark in my Silas Grixis deck right now, so I'm a little bit lower on Rograk. People know where the interaction points are with that deck a lot. They know how to stop the Rograk a lot more. It's much more difficult to stop the Krark. I personally want to give it an A. What do we do?
I think we just end the podcast here because we can't agree. Yeah, I think Play to Win's just dissolved.
I could understand giving it an S if we give it on the low.
Let's
S.
go high A. Okay. I'm fine going high A because I did say I can't blame anyone for wanting to put it in A. So I'm not really sure
what else would really be in A if not something like Rograk. You know what I mean? Like everything else to me looks like B or S that I'm like glancing at down here. I guess there's not true. Some of them we're about to talk about.
I'll tell you who I want to put in A. I'll tell you who I want to put in A. Kralm Ludvik Opus.
Not an S.
No, not an S.
Interesting. Okay.
I think I'm still a little bit lower on Blue Farm right now, or I guess Timna Kralm as a color combination right now, because it's just like Esper with extra steps, yeah. I guess. And Kralm isn't guaranteed cards. Like, Thrasios and Timna are both things that you can control on your own in order to make sure that you're consistently drawing cards because your deck's built that way.
Yeah.
Or just like, again, like we said, Timna, you're just incidentally good. Kralm, people have to actively be feeding and be like aware that it's something that they're doing. And like people will go, I don't want to feed Kralm.
Yeah.
And the game's stalled enough where like it could just be a 5-mana 4/4 flying haste.
Right. Yeah. I think the main thing realistically, and maybe this is a reason why it should be an A, is that Kralm gives you red to your Esper decks. It allows your Esper decks to win quickly or win when they want to with an Underworld Breach. That's what it does. It ties together your win conditions. Whereas Esper, historically, I have found Esper to be a little bit more difficult to win quickly or out of nowhere. You have a ton of great wins. You definitely do. But red gives you that Underworld Breach to tie it all together. So I guess I could see Kralm being an A tier. That doesn't make sense to me because Timna Kralm is the best deck in the format. Statistically, it wins the most. So I feel like I would want to give it an S tier for that. But
Kralm is not as good Kralm as Thrasios and as good as Timna. Like Timna is carrying Timna Kralm by so much. Like you're playing Kralm for the colors because you want to play Underworld Breach
in your blue Timna deck.
That's why you're playing Kralm.
Okay. So yeah, normally that would be a C because it's just for colors. But Kralm does, it's not, he is more than just for colors. We're not playing the 3-mana thing. We're not even talking about the 3-mana one that doesn't do anything.
Right, that's true. At least whenever an opponent casts a second spell that
it's
turn,
still a
you
good
can
effect.
Draw a
it's
card.
It's still
yeah.
like it's that's gonna that is gonna come up a lot. Yeah, okay, so I'll give it an A tier, but above Rograk.
Above Rograk. All right, I'll give you that. Yeah, A tier, but above Rograk. And because there's also been a lot of times that, I know we're not really looking at the history of these commanders either, but there's been a lot of times where Kralm has been just straight up not good either.
Yeah, that's true. It only was more recently. Maybe we're still thinking of the hype of with the Mana Crypt and the Jewel Lotus, where Kralm was for a few years, where Kralm sat a little bit higher.
Malcolm Keen-Eyed Navigator. Let's get some of these mono blue partners out of the way here. This was a 2/2, that's 2 and a blue, Siren Pirate, legendary creature with flying. This is going great. Whenever one or more pirates you control deals damage to your opponents, you create a treasure token for each opponent dealt damage.
This is by itself, treasures in the command zone. It's a mana Timna, right? But realistically, what this does is combo with Glenhorn Buccaneer, which we have talked about a few times.
It has an ability that for 1 and a red, you can discard a card to deal 1 damage to each opponent. And since Malcolm sees 1 damage being dealt to each opponent, you make 3 treasures. I'm sorry. His ability's loot. You
draw
get to rummage on
the
Glenhorn. Yeah. So then you get to draw, which is the replacement for the card that you discarded, so that now you've netted a mana as you activated that ability. You can activate the ability again, discard the card you drew to draw another one, deal 3 more damage, 1 to each of your opponents, get 3 more treasures, and then just keep the loop going that way.
You have to do a little bit of math. Sometimes your opponents have to be kind of close in life totals, because if one of them is drastically different and 2 of them die quickly, you won't have enough excess treasures to keep on going through the loop if one of your opponents dies. But as long as they are roughly close in life total, there's like an equation that you could do to figure out.
You can go for a while, because as long as you have 2, you're making the same number of treasures as you need to reactivate the ability. But like if then someone had 40 life and the other two players had 10,
yeah,
you're not going to net enough treasures in order to take out that last player.
Exactly, yeah. So you do have to think about that sometimes, but more often than not, this deck is a quick deck and it's winning before life totals get drastically changed in that way, right?
Is this an A tier partner?
It's A or B, and I'm not really sure which one it is. I don't think it's as good as Chrom or Rograkh, and really the main thing that it offers is combo potential in the command zone.
But it's definitely better than Jeska. Like, I think it's still better than an Jeska. Arm and a leg better than Jeska.
Yeah, because on its own, making treasures is better than killing stuff. That's the main reason, I think.
You can pair it with the red decks. You can pair it with red-black. You can pair it with white-black, like with Timna. Like, that's also something that's still very
valid. You can pair with better stuff. Yeah, Jeska is the good stuff that you're pairing with, so you have to pair it with bad stuff.
You can pair it with Tana, and as long as, like, you're in red. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's an A-tier. Malcolm is really good. It can win out of nowhere, and it's consistent mana, which is great.
Just worse than the other two A-tier commanders.
Yeah.
Sakushima of a Thousand Faces is 3 and a blue for a legendary human rogue. That's a 3/1, but not really, because you can have it enter the battlefield as a copy of another creature you control, except it has Sakushima's other abilities. And the legend rule doesn't apply to permanents you control.
Sakushima used to be great, I think, with Quark and Sakushima. It still is great with that particular deck. I had tried it a little bit with the Timna deck in a while that I had a lot of fun with, but didn't end up really continuing much with, having like a second copy of Timna, a second copy of all of your stacks pieces. I feel like Sakushima is really only good with Quark nowadays, right?
I think so too, yeah.
Just getting a second Quark is really good. The no legends rule is particularly relevant because you can play more Quarks than after that and copy your Quark.
So to me, this is probably like a D tier commander.
Interesting,
then.
Really. Okay, yeah.
Because it's only getting paired with that one thing.
Yeah, but it does something. So to me, yeah, D is there just for colors, but does nothing. C is there just for... Well, C and D are both there just for colors. Sakushima is there for a little bit more than just colors.
Like, I think there's still a difference between like C and D tier because the C tier commanders will still see play, whereas D tier commanders won't really.
Yeah.
And outside of one deck, Sakushima is not being partnered with anything else.
Right, but it does see playing that one deck that's better than all of the C&D decks. It's on par with Jeska. I don't see Jeska at all anymore.
Oh, I think it's... I guess, but like...
What's a good Jeska deck nowadays? There's
maybe
none.
We gotta move Jeska, because I don't think that... I wouldn't put Sakushima in B-tier just B-tier. Because it only partners with Quark. I don't think that's a good enough reason to say, this partner is great. That deck is great.
Yeah.
Sakushima sucks.
That's true. Sakushima does suck, but Sakushima is half of what that great deck is. I feel like that's got... Maybe it's not...
If I was rating the partner pairings, I would be okay rating Sakushima higher. But again, Sakushima is not getting partnered with anything else that we're talking about here. It's just one deck that admittedly is a good deck, but as a partner, Sakushima is not doing what I want in a partner.
It might as well
have partner with Quark.
But... It's still strong. Like, that's one aspect of partner is the customization that you can do with different stuff. That's like the one aspect of it that is low. The customization doesn't work well with other commanders, but it works really well with the one commander. So like, I think that raises it high. Chrom also doesn't work well with any other commanders. Chrom only sees play with Timna. So what's is Chrom a D? Not really. The one deck that it sees play with is really good.
Well, Chrom is a card advantage engine. Like, Chrom does stuff on its own.
But it only sees play in one deck.
Sakushima doesn't do anything on its own. If you cast Sakushima, you get a 3/1 with the legend rule. Doesn't apply to permanents.
Isn't
you control.
That semantics? Why would you play it on? You wouldn't play it like that. You'd play it with how you want to play it. You'd play it with Quark, and when it's played with Quark, it's good.
I guess.
I think it's a B. I don't know. I think it's better than Sylas and Vile Smasher and Tana. I never want to play those cards.
I think that the decks that Sylas is seen playing in is already better than the decks that Sakushima is seen playing in.
Yeah.
I think
Rock'sai is one of the top 5 decks in the format.
So for that reason, then, I think that the highest Sakushima can go C tier then. If we're going based off how strong the one deck is.
Well, it's not going off of one thing. We're trying to find one thing that we're going off of. It's a conglomeration, right?
That there's not a conglomeration with Sakushima is what I'm saying. Sakushima is only good with one deck.
Sylas is only good with one deck.
And that deck is better than Timna Quark.
Yes, that's
true. So then there's no way that Sakushima Quark could be higher than Rog'Sai, which means that Sylas has to be higher than Sakushima.
Okay, sure. I mean, you're the one who has got the mouse at your finger. I think it's a B. I don't know. I think it's better than Jeska. And Jeska's in B tier right now.
I think Jeska has more flexibility for what you could potentially do with her. Although you're right. She's not seen play now.
You can't weigh them all individually. Like, because Quark and Sakushima, you said, you're right. It only sees play with Quark and Sakushima. That is true.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter. That is part of it, of like the flexibility. Like the reason why Timna Thrasios are both at the top is you can pair them with a bunch of different options. But Sakushima doesn't have that. So that does lower it by quite a bit. Maybe that makes it a C. But it's not there
I
just
think
for
we
we should move Jessica anyway. Because now, based on this, I think you're right. I don't think Jessica should be B. I think Jessica should probably be D. Because if she's, like, not seeing play and there's, like, always a better red thing to pair with her.
Is that because of a Jessica thing or is that because of a metagame thing? And does that matter? Kark is really good right now because of a meta thing. I'm seeing a lot more Kark decks because Kark can help you push through counter spells and stuff.
Everything we've been rating so far has been based on the current metagame.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're talking about, like, Crom being good right now and, like, Thrasios Timna being really good right now. And, like, we hit Tana because Pirates isn't good. Like, Rug Pirates isn't that good right now, right?
Is there a real deck that would play Jessica right now? Not really, right? So maybe it does belong in the D, even though it just has more potential?
It has more potential. You can do things with it. But if we're rating it based on, like, what it brings to the table as a partner, then I understand Jessica being higher.
Yeah.
Either case, I think that Sakashima is C tier somewhere.
Is it C tier? Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Where does it go in the C tier then?
I kind of want to put it here.
Worse than Sylas.
Worse than Sylas. Because again, Sylas brings more colors to your deck. The decks that it sees play in are better than the decks that Sakashima is seeing play in. Even in the metagame right now, I would say. Like, Kark is really good.
Kark is really good.
Yeah, sure. That's why. That was, I think, the biggest argument we've had on the podcast.
Yeah, you were
so
really a stickler on that one.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's all right. I'm fine with that being at a C tier. Should we talk about Kark? Since all of these are so relevant with Kark.
Yeah, while we're on here. Yeah. Cool. So Kark is one and a red for a 2/2, and he is a goblin wizard. And whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, you flip a coin. If you lose the flip, return that spell to its owner's hand. And if you win the flip, copy that spell, and you may choose new targets for the copy.
Kark has gotten a lot better recently, I feel like. The ability of, like, double spells or no spells is kind of, like, fine, I think. The option to clone Kark has not been as relevant as it used to be. I'm seeing a lot more Kark Timna decks and a lot more Kark Sylas decks that don't have a Sakashima in the command zone because they've noted, probably like you, that Sakashima is, like, a C-tier commander, and they just want to play the Kark, and either my Dark Ritual makes 6 mana or no mana, and then I'll cast it again, and then it makes 6 mana or no mana. If it makes 6 mana on that second time, then that's 2 mana to make 6 mana, and that's still really good.
A lot of the Kark Sylas decks, that's kind of the direction that they want to go, but then, like, we've talked with Tyler about his Mardu Kark deck, where, like, we've gotten so many more Sakashimas that you can play in your 99 better, like your Harmonic Prodigies and your Delnies and stuff like that, where you can still get that same kind of effect and play a better commander in your command zone with Kark.
Yeah, I think Kark is a solid A tier commander right now. I truly think it's been really good.
I would agree with that.
And not even because of the Sakashima things, but like we said, but with the Timna and the Sylas stuff, I think it's just, like, a good way for spells-based decks to push through counter spells is by sometimes doubling them up on them.
Not in mid-range hell. I think he's probably a B, but I think you're absolutely right.
No,
he's...
I'm saying in mid-range hell, I think Kark is good in mid-range hell.
That's what I'm saying, too. If we're not in mid-range hell, he's probably a B.
Oh, I understand. Sorry. Yeah
but
sure.
Because we're in mid-range hell, he's definitely A. I think he's better than Malcolm.
He's better than Malcolm. It's hard to say with Rograk. I don't think he's there yet.
That is really hard to say.
I think Rograk is stronger still. But Kark is an interesting take right now that I'm curious.
I think you're right about that. Yeah. Wow, a little bit ago, we were like, wow, what's going to go in A? And now we're like, shit,
what's
going to
go in B?
Maybe Kedis. Kedis isn't going to go in B.
I don't think so.
Kedis is such a stretch here. So Kedis is another one of these red commanders that's one and a two. One and a red. For a 1/1 that says whenever a commander you control deals combat damage to an opponent, it deals that much damage to each other opponent.
I don't think Kedis is particularly good. I've seen it in a couple tournaments. I've seen it do some unique things in decks. Spreading out damage is pretty nice, but overall, that's not really what I want in most CDH decks.
It does stuff with Malcolm. Like, you can make 3 Jeweled Lotuses every time you attack with Malcolm, which is really good, and it gives you that Glinthorn Buccaneer access, but outside of, like, catching a couple players off guard because they don't really know how much mana that you have, you're not really in a good color combination, unfortunately.
I do think it's probably weirdly better than Jessica right now. I see Kedis more than Jessica at the time, so I would say it's a D tier, but better than Jessica at the top of D tier.
I would agree. Yeah, let's put that at the top of D tier. Yeah, that sounds good.
Should we talk about the next creature with partner?
Let's do that. This is Kamal, Heart of Karossa. This is 6/2 green for a 5/5 human druid. At the beginning of combat on your turn, creatures you control get +3/+3 and gain trample until end of turn. And for 1 and a green until end of turn, target land you control becomes a 1/1 elemental creature with vigilance, indestructible, and haste, and it's still a land.
Card's so cool. Just way too much mana.
Way too much mana.
Having that overrun as a partner ability is really cool, and I've thought about it a ton, but I think the other Abzan stuff, and I say Abzan because I think the best home prefer would probably be with Timna, or that's where I've seen it in the past.
Yeah, because it's typically been like a win conless stacks deck, where technically you do have a win con. It's that your commander overruns your board every single turn.
But you have to be able to make so much mana, and that's just hard to do. I think I put this in the D tier. It's not quite F, because I do think it does do something, and I'm interested in the card, but it's probably near the end of the D tier. It's behind Ikra.
Yeah, I was willing to go into F for it, but I think that's fair, because I think you're right. It does do something at least. Like, it can present a win just by being like the most threatening creature in play. So I think that's at least something. Cool. All right, let's talk about then Kadama of the East Tree. This is 4/2 green for a 6/6 spirit with reach, and whenever another permanent enters the battlefield under your control, if it wasn't put onto the battlefield with this ability, you may put a permanent card with equal or lesser converted mana cost from your hand onto the battlefield.
Another one that we kind of lost a little bit due to the losing of Jeweled Lotus. 6 mana is just a fucking ton. But
even
this
when
ability
we had
is strong.
Jeweled Lotus, it was still hard to get going.
Yeah, it was a lot. I've seen this deck do some very busted things, but it seems like you kind of have to have the lucky start, and it's a little bit tricky to get the lucky start.
There's three partners that I've seen this with. The typical one has been Timna, because you get to play stacks and like Rule of Law stacks. So like when Rule of Law meta was a thing a couple years ago, this was pretty good because you could get around it with Kadama's ability. I've seen this with Sakashima, and you play like really weird lands decks because actually, maybe this makes Sakashima better. This deck sucks. What you do is you copy Kadama, and then you have two Kadamas so that every trigger gets you two different things, and you do things with like bounce lands to help you make like a bunch of mana. And this also pairs with Silas, because weirdly enough, with like Necropotence, you can get some cracked stuff going on.
Yeah,
I
guess.
I don't remember exactly what those lines are, but if you have like a ton of cards in your hand and on like your end step or cleanup step are like able to put a bunch of them into play, like it's still pretty powerful.
I would still give this one a D. I think it's in the D tier. I think it's probably somewhere between Kedis and Jeska. Is it worse than that?
I think you're right. It'll see play more than I think Jeska will. Like there, but Kedis does something unique enough to a fringe enough deck that I think
it could be worth trying out a little bit more.
Yeah, a little bit more powerful.
About the same though.
Exactly. I think six mana also breaks it down. But all right, we're moving back to two color partners here with Bruise Tarl Boorish Herder. This is 2 a red and a white for a 3/3 human ally, and when he enters or attacks, target creature you control gains double strike and lifelink until end of turn.
Nowadays, this is a solid D to me.
Yeah,
right?
Really. Like, that's probably being generous, really.
You could still play Thrasios Bruise, and I think like that could be fine, but I think Timna Thras just does that a lot better. Bruise was holding the Sands Black Thrasios decks together with Dockside Extortionist. Now, I don't really feel like there's a real reason to play Bruise.
The best thing to do in Thrasios Bruise was the Dockside loops, and that was really what you were pushing towards, and every other win con just felt so worse, and we're at a point now where if you're not going to have that push to red, like, why not just play another card advantage commander instead?
Yeah, and it's kind of weird because we do admit that red-white is better than red-green right now, right?
There's more...
White's better than green,
red-white commanders I would want to play than white-green decks, I guess.
What I mean is that I think it's worse than Tana, but I think red-white might be better than red-green, but the things that Tana pairs with are better than the things that Bruise will pair with.
Yeah, I fully agree with that, yeah. So, still C-tier, like above Kedis, or do you think he's D-tier?
I think he's a D-tier.
If he saw some play, he would be C-tier.
Yeah, I think
C-tier,
he's a firm D-tier at this point.
Yeah, that's not happening, so...
I'm wondering if we should move Silas up to B tier.
To B, purely, I don't mind that, yeah.
Purely because Grixis Kark is really good and Grixis Rograk is really good?
The deck is so good, yeah.
Does that make sense?
I hate that there's nothing in B, and we're coming towards the end of the list, and I'm starting to think there might be one or two other guys that we're only putting in B.
Yeah, I see maybe two guys that I would put in the B tier, and I think Silas, Rog Sai being so strong and Kark Silas picking up heat so much fast, which is weird because Silas sucks ass. Silas doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I feel
Blue-Black Commander. Blue-Black Generic Commander is good because
Part
Red's good.
Part of me does want to weigh a little bit like what they do too, because like how good they are as a partner I think is also important if we're trying to rank them.
Goes together. It's the whole package. Like what they offer as a color combination, what they actually do. What Silas offers as a color combination is a 9 out of 10. What Silas does is a 0 out of 10.
Yeah.
So it's somewhere in the middle because of that, but it's still part of one of the best decks in the format, so I feel like it should be a B.
I love giving him B.
Okay.
I love
we'll
giving
We'll move it
him
up to
B.
A B for right now.
Okay, that sounds good. All right. I'm really happy with this. Ishai.
Ishai
is the Ojutai Dragon Speaker. This is 2, a blue and a white for a 1/1 bird monk with flying. And whenever an opponent casts a spell, put a +1/+1 counter on Ishai.
Yeah.
Man, I used to love this commander.
So good. Yeah, with Jeskar. You play this card a lot. Not so much anymore.
No. The lack of card advantage with that commander pairing in particular is really what drove me away from that. Like, just play blue farm if you're going to do that, really.
Yeah.
Like, you can snipe players out. But the other thing that I found is that it's really easy to snipe the wrong player, or it's just strictly incorrect to snipe a player out of the game too. That kind of means that a lot of the things that Ishai is good for actually makes it a liability a lot of the time.
It's like Jeskar. It does what it does very well. What it does is just not very good.
Exactly.
Killing one player is just not very good. I want to kill all three of them or none of them. For the most part, I want them alive to keep me alive when they can, right?
And there were fringe Esper builds where you would pair this with Tevish going around too, because Humility was pretty good when you could have a creature that had +1/+1 counters on it when no one else could. But even still, that's still not very strong.
I still think it's a D tier, but probably right behind Jeskar because it only sees play with Jeskar right now. And I do see Jeskar Ishai from time to time. I still think it's like, you know, a deck.
Yeah. And blue, white are better colors to add to your deck than black and green.
Nowadays,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
I would think so. So yeah, I'm okay. Wow, this D tier is stacked. Is there anything that we want to move down to F tier? Like, Kamal doesn't see play. Should Kamal be F?
At the top of F tier. Maybe Kamal goes to the top of F tier.
At the top of F, yeah. Because Sadar, even though it gives you more colors, would never see play either. Yeah.
Okay. Armix?
Armix. Let's talk about Armix. So Armix is an artifact creature that's 2 and a black for a 3/2. And when Armix attacks, you can discard a card. And when you do, target creature defending player controls gets -X/-X until end of turn, where X is the number of artifacts you control in play and in the graveyard.
Once upon a time, I think it saw a little bit of play due to it just being solid removal and kind of a more creature-based meta. I don't really see it anymore, ever.
It being a way to give Chrom Grixis colors, I think, is kind of cool. It helps fuel your Underworld Breach while getting rid of, like, really important stacks pieces.
Yeah.
Same thing could be said with Thrasios if there's something that's preventing you from winning. Like, I kind of liked that. It made me want to play cards like Defense Grid in my Grixis deck then too, because it just, like, helped me up my artifact count while still being something that was really good in a color combination that was lacking that effect as well.
Yep. Another one that lost out due to Jeweled Lotus, being able to easily cast this for your Jeweled Lotus was really great. I don't see Armix at all anymore. I think it's solidly an F
at this point. I think so too. Yeah, at this point. And probably lower than Sadar, but above Tormod.
Maybe higher than Sadar.
Maybe higher than Sadar.
It can still be in a Grixis deck.
It's got the Jeskar removal thing, which is kind of nice. Like, turning all of the cards in your hand, or any of the cards in your hand, into a piece of removal is pretty good. But the problem is, like, you put them in a Grixis deck and you go, oh my god, all of my cards are good.
Right.
And then I was like, I'm discarding Defense Grid because I put it in the deck because I just said it was good, but it was the worst card in the deck, actually. So it was like what always got discarded. So
and also, I think when the main reason why Tormod is also bad and why a lot of these we're not talking about at all is the other option is much better. It's interesting that the red ones have so many options, but Tevish side is just a lot better than this one.
Yeah,
and we'll talk
exactly.
about Tevish then
we'll
at the
talk
end.
About Tevish later. Yeah, I want to talk about Breach's Brazen Plunderer first.
Yeah,
for some reason.
Yeah,
I guess
another F tier. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so this is 3 and a red for a 3/3 goblin pirate, and whenever one or more pirates you control deals combat damage to opponents. No, it's just regular damage. You deals damage to your opponents. Exile the top card of each of those opponents' libraries. You may play those cards this turn, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast those spells.
On paper, it works perfectly with the Malcolm Glenhorm combo. It feels like that deck was made for that combo. It seems like it's perfect with that. The reality is, if you're going to play that deck, it's just better to play 3 colors than 2 colors a lot of the time, and it's better to have a partner that does nothing but gives more colors than a partner that does something and is less colors.
Funny how we even got like Kedis, and that's still a better thing to pair with Malcolm if you want to do this.
Which
even.
Is because it's cheaper.
Just because it's cheaper and it gives you like easier advantage.
Yeah, 4 mana is a lot. A big part of me says that this commander should be better and should see more play, but the reality is that it just doesn't, and I'm wrong about that.
You have to be filled with pirates and you have to pay 4 mana for it. So
I think it's an F tier, but worse.
It's the worst commander we've talked about so far.
You think? Yeah.
At least Tormod combos with something unless
there is
you play good tutors.
There's a 4 mana 2 card combo that Tormod has access to. That's unique.
And Breach is just makes you play bad cards in your deck, probably.
Yeah, yep, yep.
Let's talk about a card that makes you play bad cards in your deck, but is actually cracked. This is Dargo the Shipwrecker. 6 and a red for a 7/5 legendary giant pirate. As an additional cost to cast the spell, you may sacrifice any number of artifacts and or creatures, and this spell costs 2 less to cast for each permanent sacrifice this way, and 2 less to cast for each other artifact or creature you've sacrificed this turn. And he's got trample.
Dargo is broken, and Dargo has a lot of rules that are very bendable and breakable, but the fact that you can sacrifice things as part of the cast is very unique, because you're not resolving something to sacrifice those things. Those things are sacrificed. When you are casting Dargo, they are just sacrificed. There's a lot of fun things you can do with Underworld Breach. There's a lot of fun things you can do with sacrifice, and casting your one mana commander with a lot of mana value and being able to sacrifice it away is huge.
It is weird that he sees himself die and then goes, that counts towards my commander tax now.
Right, yeah. So normally if you can cast Dargo for one mana one time, and you continue to sacrifice him, he's 1 red mana each time, no matter what. So stuff like Burgi, stuff like Phyrexian Altar, a lot of that stuff becomes really, really insanely broken with Dargo. I think Dargo is a solid B tier. And
that's
weirdly,
exactly what I was thinking.
I think it should, in a lot of worlds, it should be higher, but it's just so bizarre that Rograkh and Kark are also so strong that it pushes Dargo down a little bit. Like, Dargo should be better, but if you're going to play a mono-red partner commander, you have weirdly better options.
I think there's other things that kind of keep Dargo down a little bit too. I think some of the card selection you have to play, like, it's a couple of weird ones that are in there, and it's also really hard. Like, there's a lot of math you have to do to play Dargo. The lines are really intricate too. Certain pilots will do super well with certain Dargo builds, and then other players will pick it up and go, what the fuck's going on?
Right, yeah. But you're right, it does have the issue with you playing a lot of dead cards. Not dead cards, but cards that don't do anything outside of Dargo.
Yeah, exactly.
If there's a Drannith that you can't get rid of, or something like
Altar
that
of the Wretched,
yeah, you have a couple bad cards, but it's still a very, 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 very powerful card that breaks a lot of the rules of Magic. So yeah, solid B, but under Silas. Just because Silas is blue-black, more colors is better than a good partner a lot of the time.
Halana, Kessig Ranger, is 3 and a green for a 3/4 with reach. And whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may pay 2, and when you do, that creature deals damage equal to its power to target creature.
So this is kind of removal. This is really gets rid of your Protein Hulk at a weird lots of mana value rate. That's kind of the main thing that Halana has brought to CDH that I've seen, is that it allows you to kill your own Hulk.
Yeah, you just need to have like another 6 power thing in play to kill the Hulk.
No, the Hulk can deal damage to itself by paying 2 mana, I think.
Oh, I forget about that. Yeah,
the Hulk can deal damage to itself.
The creature enters and you can still have it target itself and have it punch itself.
Realistically, the new partner, the Felothar, the new Abzan legendary that we just got, Felothar, kind of makes Timna Halana, to me, lame. Like, Timna is still really good, so maybe not lame. Maybe Timna is still really good, but if you want a way to kill your Hulk in your command zone, I think Felohark does it the best.
Yeah, it's spending 3 mana or, like, spending 3 mana and then just attacking,
right,
versus having to spend 4 mana and then an additional 2 on top of it, no matter how
that's
you slice it.
1,000 mana. You're never going to do that.
Just hard cast your fucker and then just sacrifice him then. Yeah.
Halana is probably a D tier. It does something,
but not enough to make it worth anything. Yeah.
Like, maybe, I don't know, after Jessica. After somewhere after Jessica.
Like above Ishai, or
I don't know. It doesn't super matter. Yeah, sure. If you think it goes there, that sounds great.
I think it is worse than Ishai. And it's probably worse than Rayhan.
Yeah, probably worse than Rayhan.
And I don't think I need to explain myself any further.
Not at all.
Great, let's talk about Francisco then. Francisco is 1 and a black for an 0/1 bird pirate with flying, and it can't block. And whenever one or more pirates you control deal damage to a player, Francisco explores.
So this one is kind of a combo, part of a decent amount of combo. You have to have a, what do you have to have?
Walking Ballista in the graveyard and an Agatha's Soul Cauldron in play and a non-land on top of your library.
Right.
So that way, when you activate Agatha's Soul Cauldron to exile Walking Ballista, you can put a +1/+1 counter on Francisco, and then you can remove that +1/+1 counter from Francisco because Agatha Soul Cauldron gives it the Walking Ballista ability to deal a damage to an opponent, causing it to explore, and when you reveal a non-land on the top, it puts another +1/+1 counter back on Francisco, and you can repeat this loop until the table's dead.
Yeah, that's kind of all it does. I mean, that's not true. It does a couple other things. It's good with Ragavan. It's a 2-mana commander, which is nice, but realistically, it just just allows you to go into another combo.
And it lets you play like a one card combo in your deck too in Final Parting. None of these things are great.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but Malcolm also lets you play a one card combo in Glenhorn Buccaneer, and then you can also be in a Grixis deck that way.
That's true, yeah. You played this deck in a Grixis shell for a while,
I did.
Too.
I actually liked it. I think I liked it just because Grixis shell is good, and having Grixis was some things that can get you a little bit of value in the early games is just good. That deck is just going to be good. But I don't know that that really makes Francisco good. There are like kind of, I would say, like strictly better versions of the deck.
I think that's fair. Yeah. Exploring not being real card advantage, I think, makes it tough.
But I do think that it's still weirdly like a C tier at the end of the C tier because it allows you to play a decent Grixis strategy. It's cheap. It does a lot of things that I'm interested in at a little bit of a worse rate rather than straight up nothing or only working with one commander, which is what the other C tiers do. And I think that's like close, right?
I think you're absolutely right on that. Yeah. I think bottom of C makes sense because it does unlock a lot of good doors for you. And like having access to like a win condition, like an actual combo that you can set up pretty easily on a cheap commander, I think is pretty good. But there's just a lot of extra value you can get out of other partner options that just kind of keep this a little bit lower.
Next one.
Akiri Lineslinger.
Stink.
This guy does a lot of cocaine.
Yeah.
This is a red and a white for an 03 core soldier ally with first strike and vigilance and gets +1/+1 for each artifact you control.
This is another Timna blocker if you want that in your command zone for if you want to add red and white.
I don't think people have been concerned about Timna blockers for 4 to 5 years now.
I think this is kind of the same thing as Bruise. It's a little bit cheaper, and if you're just looking to add red and white, nowadays this one's probably better. I like Bruise back in the day with Thrasios because you could Eldritch Evolution or Neoform your Bruise into a Seedborn Muse, which is really good. You can't do that with Akiri. So that was the main reason why I would be interested in playing Bruise over Akiri. And I think nowadays, if I were to play Sans Black Seedborn Muse deck, I would still want Bruise for the same reason.
Honestly, I think Akiri is an F now because of that. With Dockside Extortionist, and when you were able to build big boards of treasures and have this be like actual combat damage thing.
I have a 10-3. Okay, sure.
That's pretty great, right? But you can't do that now. It's just like there's a strictly better red-white option for what you want these pairings to be able to do. So honestly, I think Akiri's like kind of around the Siddhar Kondo era here.
Yeah, I think so too. Probably better than Siddhar though.
Probably better, you know, probably better than
Armix.
No, worse than Armix.
Yeah, Armix does something.
Armix does something. Yeah, this card does nothing. Let's talk about one more card that does nothing before we get to our last thing that does something today. Let's talk about Ardyn.
What does Ardyn do?
Nothing good. Ardyn, Intrepid Archaeologist, is 2 and a white for a 2-2 core scout, and at the beginning of combat on your turn, you can attach any number of auras and equipments you control to target permanent or player.
This does two things in CDH. Did you say what the whole card does?
Yeah, I got confused because it says or player, and I didn't realize that, yeah, if I want to attach more auras to me, I could, yeah.
The main thing that this does is it turns Godo Helm into an easier to assemble combo because you can play the Godo, go get the Helm, and then use the Ardyn ability to attach the Helm.
It's funny that you say that because if Godo's in your command zone, it can't get easier to assemble
because
he's right there. But now you have to find Godo.
It makes it cheaper. It cheapens the mana so you can do it earlier.
I was just trying to be a wordplay douchebag. Yeah.
That's the main thing that it does. It also works well with Skullclamp. You can attach your Skullclamp to your opponent's Birds of Paradise and you still draw a card. Two cards. That's neat.
That's a really sweet interaction. Yeah.
I haven't seen this deck much at all recently. I've seen Naya Ardyn decks in the past that win with Godo and do some Skullclampy things.
I've seen Crown with Ardyn as well.
Yep. For the same thing, you can win with Godo or you're just like, you do a couple equipment things. This is one of those that, like, maybe in the future, if we get some busted equipments that this works well with, okay. But really, it's just not what a CDH deck wants to do. It's too many hoops to jump through for not enough reward.
And yeah, you don't get to play enough good equipment to make this worth it. Like, you get to play Skullclamp. I think you get to play Umezawa's Jitte too, because if you get to get in for damage, like the removal on that one's actually pretty good, but like
still kind of a lot of mana. Yeah.
That's the thing.
It's like, 2 mana thing. Can we get rid of 1-1 thing or something?
It's not good enough, right? And if we're not going to get equipment that are better than Batterskull or Cauldra Complete, like we're just going to get big stats, living weapon stuff instead.
Yeah, it allows you to have a 6-mana, 1-card win condition in your red-white based deck in Godo. Well, not 6 though, because 3 to cast your commander and then 6 to cast your Godo and then the equip is free. So 9.
You save 2 mana in the long run, I guess.
You save 2 mana in the long run, yeah. So that's an F, but I think it's near the high end. Maybe it's better than the red-white one. But under Armix, maybe better than Armix. I don't know.
Oh, man. I think it's worse than Armix. I think my only other argument against it is that if you are trying to do Arden, you're like really shooting yourself in the foot more than a lot of these other partners is going to kind of force you to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So he's definitely an F tier. It's a lot more an F tier than I thought that there would be. One last partner that we're going to talk about today, and it's the last of our Planeswalker partners.
And the last of our partners, and the last of our cards.
Tevish Tot, Doom of Fools. This is 4 and a black for a 4 loyalty Zot Planeswalker, and you can +2 to put 2 01 black Thrall creature tokens into play. You can +1 to sacrifice another creature or Planeswalker, and if you do, draw 2 cards, then draw another card if the sacrifice permanent was a commander, and you can -10 him to gain control of all commanders and put all commanders from the command zone onto the battlefield under your control. This card taught me that there's one singular command zone that all commanders share.
Oh, they're all in the command zone, not their owner's command zones.
Put all commanders from the command zone.
Interesting.
Onto the battlefield, yeah.
That's weird.
Interesting.
Tevish is interesting, is a great way to put it. It's unique. 5 mana, it draws a lot of cards. That's kind of the main thing that it's going to be doing, is you can sacrifice your Rograkh that you pair with, or sacrifice some other creature that you just have laying around, or the 0/1s that it makes. Getting this out on turn 1 and then turn 2, plussing it up even again, because both of its abilities are pluses to draw cards, is pretty huge. I have found that you become an attack target if there's another Krom at the table, or another, you know, someone who's looking who has free attacks. They're going to end up attacking you because that ultimate is so busted. But the card advantage with Tevish Tot is pretty huge, and Krom Tevish is like a real deck that does see play and does okay.
Yeah, Krom Tevish, Thrasios Tevish, like it makes cards like Calling the Weak be like way better in your deck.
Yeah.
You get to play that in scenarios where you don't really get to before.
And another great Skull Clamp card, if you can clamp the 0/1s that it makes and continue to plus making more of the Thralls while using the Skull Clamp to draw 2 cards each of them, that's pretty insane. This one's, I don't know, is this a C or a, I don't think it's a B.
Oh, I was going to put him in B.
You think it's a B?
Like the bottom of B, like above Sakashima.
It's definitely around Sakashima. Well, so it's interesting because I think Quark and Sakashima is a better, that's not true. Is that true? Is Quark and Sakashima better than Krom Tevish? I don't think that's true. I think Krom Tevish is better. Yeah, I think it's a solid B. But it's behind Dargo. It's not as broken as Dargo.
Oh, it's definitely behind Dargo. Yeah, and I would have moved before the bans. It definitely would have been up higher on this list.
Yeah, way
higher. Yeah, like probably even A tier.
Yeah, but it has still remained powerful even with the bans, because what it does is just so much.
It's
so much
still strong.
Stuff.
Yeah, it's less popular, but I think it's still really strong.
Yeah, it just draws you kind of a bunch of cards. 2 to 3 cards every turn, every other turn, or every turn is really good, and the threatening ultimate is so insane that everyone has to pay attention to it, and then you do get a bit of a distraction. Look over here at my Tevish Tot while I'm compiling a handful
of
cards.
That's true. Like,
okay,
if
you kill
in
my Tevish Tot, time to ad nauseam now or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
If you're in the Grixis version, like, you can play with your life total a little bit more because they're too afraid of Tevish in that case.
Right. And it's nice to just say, okay, you're not attacking me. I'm still at 35 and we're on turn 6 and you killed my Tevish Tot. That's great. I still have 35 life, so I can necro for a bunch still on turn 6. Like, it kind of does the life linking thing that we wanted from Ikra and from Bruise, except rather than gaining you the life, it just prevents the damage by being able to block and take the damage itself
while drawing
you
cards
drawing
on
you
top
cards
of it
as
all.
You go through of it. So yeah, Tevish is great, and I would agree, solid B commander.
Solid B, that sounds good. Well, the list has been on screen this whole fucking time, but take another good look at it, because
this
is how we're
true.
Ranking them. I think so too. Yeah, I think there's a lot worse partners out there than I thought that there were. I thought we would thought there'd be a couple of better ones and a couple more higher rankings here. But
there's really only, like, I would say 10 of these partners are good. Like, the first two are obviously great. Timna and Thrasios are busted.
I think you were right to only put those two in S tier.
Yeah,
I think
those
I think
are the
you
best
right
of the best,
that.
I think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because they are both in several tier one decks.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, the other ones, like, might only appear in one.
In one, but it's still, like, a tier one or tier two deck, I think, is all the A tier.
Exactly.
The tier B is, they're doing something that's powerful. Sylas is very important colors. Dargo is broken. Tevish draws a ton of cards.
It's like, depending on who you pair them with, they can be like really busted,
right,
and like do some awesome stuff.
And then the C tier are all commanders that can see play, mainly for their colors or because they do one thing in a unique way.
They have to be paired up with another commander
kind of
in particular, but they can be super strong with that other partner in particular.
And then D and F, all the D ones, like, you could play, they're very fringy, but I don't see them a ton anymore. And then F, I don't see at all.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, these are the partners in CDH. Love
it. That's pretty much it, yeah.
Thanks so much for watching or listening. If you want to support us directly, you can do so on Patreon, like our $100 patrons.
Eli the Magic Guy, David Newman, Pat Fire, Spangler, Demetrius Clark, Larceny Roars, Your Boy Blue, Sparky B, Zunon, Insomnia, SC Phillip, Olden Groupie, Gecko 21, Caleb Ritchie, Zach Hartley, Reactive, Sean in the Ice, Gare Bear Garrett, Luke Cook, Joshua Day, Demon of Rosgris, Peter Stewart, Cornell Wild, Uncle Butts, Nick Foles, Go to 9, Quadja, Hamid, Lauren Connell, Scott Hawk, and Baby G Bus.
Want to pick up any of our merch? You can do that at playtowinmtg.com.
Thank you, Dragon Shield, for supporting the show. Use code PlayToWin5 at our affiliate link down below for 5% off.
Follow us on social media for more content.
Thank you so much for watching.
See you next time.
Deadbeat Scott, Lil Sad Loner, Sarcastic, Roy Turner, Bill Bob, Mystic Muffin Man, Zachary Coulson, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poteet, Justin Mansolo, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson.
Winter is here, and if your furnace isn't keeping up, don't worry. Care Heating and Cooling has you covered. Our expert technicians are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. That means when Care shows up, we're there to solve the problem, not to push a sale. With 30 years of award-winning, trusted service, you can count on Care to keep your home warm and comfortable. Call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or schedule an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.